God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to these stations to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. And here now is Jerry to introduce our broadcast.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. You know, in 1998, Brother Hutchings reluctantly sat down at his 1951 Royal typewriter and started writing his autobiography. When he finished, it was a 344-page book titled As It Is in the Days of Noah. Since then, a great deal has happened to Brother Hutchings, and so he has added to the book, bringing it up to date. And for the next few days, I have the great pleasure of joining him in presenting information from his amazing life as recorded in that book, which, by the way, is available, and we'll tell you how to get a copy of the book later. Brother Hutchings, as with all stories, it's good to start at the beginning, but I believe you have a special announcement for this October.
Yes, Brother Jerry, I've talked to other broadcasters of Christian programming, and I think the mail generally across the nation has been down in support of Christian programming this summer. There may be several reasons for that, including the rise in gasoline prices. But I've noticed this summer that some stations, we simply are not hearing from the listeners or supporters, and we cannot continue to carry programs over stations that are not maintaining as far as the radio bill is concerned. Our radio stations cost anywhere from $10 to $15 a day up to $400 a day. You know, some stations cost $8,000 or more. We have quite a few that will cost between $6,000 and $8,000. Quite a few that cost between $4,000 and $6,000 a month. So, this is Radio Identification and Response Month, and we're going to have to make some decisions concerning the stations over which we are simply are not receiving sufficient response to pay the radio bills. So we need to hear from every listener this month as to what station you listen to, and if possible, send an offering to keep us on that station. Simply let us know the call letters, and also if you would like for us to continue on that particular station, because we're going to have to make some serious decisions at the end of this month, because we have gone into a considerable deficit this summer over many of the stations. And I'm just telling you this so you can pray about it and respond as the Lord leads. Now, you mentioned my book.
Yes, sir. Well, of course, any book always starts at the beginning. But I'd like for you, if you would, just share with us why you wrote the book in the first place.
Well, I mainly wrote the book because quite a few of my friends and staff members here at the ministry kept dogging me or hounding me to write the book. And I really didn't want to write the book because I responded, why would anybody want to read about me? And autobiographers are so dull anyway that usually people will read the first dozen or so pages and then put them up and never look at them again. But I'm glad I did write the book because it has helped the ministry considerably. I think the book now is in its fifth printing, I believe. I'm not sure how many copies have been printed. We just have to keep printing it. And, you know, the book has gone out, and we call it As It Is in the Days of Noah. You know, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, we are in the days of Noah, not only the first Noah again, it seems like, but also this particular Noah. I'm not relating my ministry to the ministry of the first Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness and built an ark. It took him 120 years. I'm not sure I'm going to be around that long, but some people think I am. It seems like that long anyway. I know some say, well, the only way we're ever going to get rid of you is beat you to death with a stick. But, you know, the book has helped many, many people. I think it's been an encouragement to some. It's a good read, I understand. And even history teachers have used my book in their classes because it gives an account of times back in the 1920s and 30s that so many of their students anymore don't get from history books.
Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Hutchings, I was just going back over the book a little bit before we started these programs, and it is really an easy read. Your special touch is seen throughout the book, actually, beginning in the introduction, and folks don't miss that part of the book. But it's a very interesting book. Your life has been an interesting life, and I'm glad, too, that you went ahead and wrote it. You know, I joined the ministry here in 1998, the very year that you wrote it, and I hadn't been here very long, and I heard people talking about, well, why don't you write that a biography? And I joined in because I think people need to know about your life. You've been here since 1951 at this ministry, and what's happened to you and this ministry over those years is very interesting. So let's go back, if we could, Brother Hutchings, to your birth.
Thank you very much. And, of course, you know, Abraham had an interesting life.
Mm-hmm.
Noah had an interesting life. David had an interesting life. And, you know, you check the lives of some of the patriarchs in Scripture that had such an interesting life, or even historical figures. And you find that they were always willing to just do whatever God told them to do or open the door. They weren't reticent about taking chances and striking out to the promised land, for example. So I think that's kind of the story of my life. I like to think it is. And as I look back over my life, I think my life has been rather interesting. Not only to me, but to other people. I was born on December the 11th, 1922. This was 15 years after Oklahoma became a state. And when I was born and the times I grew up in back in the 1920s, you know, there were still a lot of Indians here in Oklahoma. Of course, there still are, but we don't think of them as Native Indians anymore because most of them have intermarried and they have adopted the white man's ways. Back in the 1840s and 50s, you know, the government of the United States decided that to try to live together with whites, Indians and white man just didn't mix too well back then. So they decided they were going to move all the Indians out of the southeastern part of the United States from Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, move them to Oklahoma, and they told them that we're going to move you to Oklahoma, and this will be your nation. You're never going to have to bother about moving again or be bothered with the white man coming in and bothering you or disturbing your way of life. And so they moved them to Oklahoma. Already in Oklahoma, there were some Native tribes already here, like the Comanches, the Kiowas, the Blackfeet, the Pawnees, the Shawnees, and a few others. So they moved the five tribes, which they called the five civilized tribes, Chickasaws, Chickasays, Cherokees, Choctaws, Creeks, and Seminoles. They moved those tribes here into Oklahoma. And as you travel through Oklahoma, you will still see signs that will say you're now in the Choctaw Nation or the Cherokee Nation. Well, those old boundary lines are still here. But it was an interesting time in which I was born. And I know when I was born, I had a Grandma Eskew, who was a fine Christian, a Bible scholar. At least she read the Bible a lot, and she wanted to name all her children after Bible names. And when I was born, she came to my mother and said, I've already got a name picked out for him. And my mother said, what is it? And my grandmother said, Boaz. We're going to call him Boaz. And my mother said, no, you're not going to call my boy Boaz. And do you have another name? And she said, well, I have Noah, the second choice. Well, my mother was not a Christian at that time and hadn't read the Bible like my grandmother had. And she said, well, Noah, yeah, Noah Webster, he wrote the dictionary. Yeah, that's a good name. So they named me Noah Webster Hutchings. But that pleased my grandmother also, so that's what I was called. Of course, I was born at Messer, Oklahoma. That was a community about 10 miles from Hugo down on the Kimishi River.
Now, that's in southeast Oklahoma,
that's
correct?
That's in southeast Oklahoma. It's also called Little Dixie or Yellow Dog Country. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's called Yellow Dog Country is that if the Democrats ran a yellow dog, all the Democrats would still vote for it. So, Democratic country, southeast Oklahoma. And we lived at that time on what we called Old Sophie's Place. Old Sophie was an Indian woman who had her part of her Indian land and had a house on it. She had two houses. And we lived on one. And I don't remember what tribe old Sophie belonged to, but she was quite tall. Didn't look like a Choctaw Indian. I think she was probably a Seminole or a Cherokee. And she was very nice, didn't bother anyone. And she just wanted my dad to live on the land and take care of it. I don't think she even charged him any rent. And so later on, though, I remember when I went to school, he moved down the road a little ways to the other side of the road. Why he moved, I have no idea. Messer is a gravel pit area. In fact, I think the state finally turned most of it into a gravel pit. And I don't know why my dad moved down the road. He just liked to move. Maybe he liked the color of the rocks on the other side of the road. That's all I know. And I attended Messer School. That was the first school I went to. And I can remember after that we moved to Boggy Bottom. That was in 1928. And I can remember back then, prices of cotton and corn was good, and everyone was on the farm was making it all right. They were able to sell their cash crops for pretty good. And my father was a good farmer, and he was backed by a doctor in Hugo, Oklahoma, who wanted to go down on Boggy Bottom. That would have been about 10 or 12 miles in the other direction, southwest of Hugo, on Boggy River. And he went down and cleared land and planted cotton, corn, peanuts, potatoes. He worked very hard, and we all did. There were six kids in the family. And we also hired some labor and planted a large farm, and it was a good land, and it really produced. But then the 1929 crash came, and we had all that cotton and corn and peanuts and potatoes. It didn't even pay to pick the cotton, because the cotton didn't pay for the picking and ginning after you sold it. And I can remember huge piles of cotton we just left out in the field. And corn was only 10 cents a bushel, as I remember it. Didn't hardly pay to pick the corn. And my dad went bankrupt real fast, along with everyone else. And I can remember in the fall, in the winter, going up and looking up and down the Boggy River, and you'd see little pillars of smoke coming up and down Boggy River. What that was steel. Many of the farmers turned to making whiskey.
Moonshine.
Moonshine. Of course, if it got caught, they spent 2 years in McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
But those were difficult times, and the Great Depression followed. And I know I went to live with my grandmother because we simply didn't have any food. And my grandmother lived by herself, mainly with another one of her children. My grandmother was a Civil War widow, and she got a Civil War pension. And it was an experience for me to live with my grandmother and hear Civil War stories. And it was there that I became interested in the Bible. I was only, 7 years old? Mm-hmm. And go to school and stay with my grandmother. And I took up reading Bible stories. She had a lot of Bible story books. And I think I read through the whole Bible. And that, I think that's where I got my love for the Bible. Later, my father and mother and the whole family moved up in that area, which was the Bearden Springs area near Hugo. And I remember we lived on a farm. He was sharecropping. He took up sharecropping where you moved on a farm that someone owned and plant the crops and everything, and when they were gathered, the owner would get half. He would provide everything else, the seed and the fertilizer and the horses and the instruments to farm with, and we were that poor. There at one place, we lived by a creek near the schoolhouse, and in the spring and winter, there was water in the little creek, but in the summer, it would dry up, and we had to carry water about a quarter of a mile to do the laundry and provide water for the family. That's how poor we were. And I can remember at one time my oldest sister had married, and it was in that house that she came home to have her first baby. And we had an old doctor who came to see her and take care of her during childbirth. His name was Johnson. And after my sister had given birth to the baby, Dr. Johnson came to see how she was getting along. And my mother said, my boy is in there. He has a stomachache. And I'm concerned about him. And would you go see him? Boy, he went in and thumped around on me and said, well, he's a little puny. I'll give him some Calomel and you can get a prescription filled. And if you don't get along in a few days, give me a ring. Or give me a call and let me know. And he happened to have a young intern with him whose name was Dr. I don't remember its name, but he was a young intern. And the young intern said, you mind if I look at him? And Dr. Johnson said, well, go ahead. So he went in, looked at me, and come back and said, his appendix have ruptured, and if he is not operated on within 24 hours, he will die. So I think it was God's providence that my sister at that time had her first child, and it was providence also, I think, that that young intern was with that doctor. Else, there wouldn't be the book that we're talking about today.
Nor would there be the Noah Hutchings we're sitting here across the table from. You know, Brother Hutchings, that's interesting that you would mention that, and I know that later on, in this series of programs, you're going to talk about some other times that God really showed himself strong in your life when you were on some tours with the ministry, as a matter of fact. So you folks will want to be listening throughout this entire series of programs. And don't forget, you can get a copy of the book, too. You'll want to get that. Even if you got the original book, get the new one because it has some new information in it. One copy of the book for a gift of $18. If you'd like more, you can get two for a gift of $30. If you want even more than that, call and we'll tell you what the gift amount would be for that. But the phone number to call is 1-800-652-1144. 1-800-652-1144. You can write for the book by addressing your request to Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or go to our website, www.swrc.com.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. You know, in my book, also, there are a lot of humorous incidents, and a lot of people appreciate the book for that also.
I hate to interrupt you here, but I've got to say this. You have a unique sense of humor. Working here at the ministry with you all these years, I have recognized that now sometimes you're pretty serious, but there are other times when you just come up with some of the most hilarious, I guess we'd say, comments or statements. And this book has a lot of those in there, a lot of anecdotes. So just for that reason, you might want to get the book because it really does have a lot of humor in it.
I know one incident right after I was operated on for appendicitis. We lived at that one place. My mother sent my younger brother, who was probably only 5 years old, I'd say 5 or 6, out to the barn to get some eggs. And he went out. He couldn't find any eggs in a nest, but there were some eggs under the barn. The hens would go in the barn and lay eggs, so he crawled under the barn. And it was dark under there, and he lit a match, set the barn on fire. And we looked out, and his barn was burning down. And, of course, there was nothing we could do to let it burn. And we didn't see my little brother. And we thought that he had burned up in the barn. So after the barn was nothing but ashes and cinders, we were poking around in the cinders to try to find my little brother. And my mother had a stick. She was poking around, and she poked it down, and something went, come up, and smoke come up. And she poked it again, and the smoke come up and hissed. She said, started crying and said, oh, I found Harold. I found Harold. So we all run over there and took the shovel and moved the ashes around. But it wasn't Harold. It was sweet potatoes that had baked in the barn when it was burning. So later on, though, Harold came home. He had run off. He was scared because he had burned the barn down and run off in the woods. But after a couple of hours, he came home. And it was just one of those incidents on the farm that was amusing. And we have included stories like that in our book. But I think you will enjoy the book. We have got so many, many letters and calls about the book. And it's now in its 5th printing. And we've added another chapter in this new edition to catch up with what happened from 1998 up to the present time.
And so you'll want to get a copy of that book. And again, the title of it is As It Is in the Days of Noah. It's the new updated edition. One copy for a gift of $18, two for a gift of $30. And the way you get that book is to call 1-800-652-1144. If you want to write for it, the mailing address again is Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. And it is also available on our website. It's a secure website. You don't need to worry about that. SWRC.com is the address for the website. Call 1-800-652-1144. If you want to write for it, the mailing address again is Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Well, stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report on most of these stations, and be sure and be with us tomorrow when Brother Hutchings and I will continue talking about his new book, or actually his updated book, I guess we should call it, As It Is in the Days of Noah, on the Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. This is Jerry Geltner. I'll be bringing you today's Bible in the News report. When Katrina came ashore in Mississippi, it left devastation in its wake, the likes of which most Americans have never seen nor experienced. Homes, businesses, casinos, and lives were ravaged. And we can include churches in that list. One Gulfport, Mississippi pastor had encouraging words for his flock the Sunday following Katrina's unwelcome visit. We're quoting now from BaptistStandard.com, story posted on the internet September 8, 2005. Quote, 6 days after Hurricane Katrina destroyed the sanctuary of First Baptist Church in Gulfport, Pastor Chuck Register told church members he wholeheartedly believed it is, as he put it, the redemptive moment in history for Mississippi's Gulf Coast. The congregation that received the message had lost everything, homes, cars, personal belongings, even their church building, everything except each other and their faith. Register stood in a borrowed pulpit at Cross Point Baptist Church. His message was one of comfort and hope for his hurting congregation, but it was also one of challenge to call God's people to service in a desperate community. Our Lord is still on the throne, and he's given us the greatest opportunity on the face of this earth to get his message out, Register said. We need to use this opportunity to reach this community. Almost a week after a 30-foot storm surge and 130-mile-per-hour winds left much of Gulfport in ruins, hundreds of worshipers packed the borrowed sanctuary of Cross Point Church, a congregation on the north side of Gulfport, planted by First Baptist just last year. In addition to members of First Baptist, others attended the worship service, including members of First Presbyterian Church of Gulfport and other local church seekers who came merely to find a place offering comfort for their pain. I came because I needed this, said lifelong First Baptist member and Long Beach resident Becky Brown, who brought her 2 sons, ages 7 and 9, to the service. My week is not complete unless I go to church, and I needed it. Especially today. I needed to be with these people for comfort. Close quotes. Noah Hutchings, president of Southwest Radio Church Ministries, begins every Watchman on the Wall program with these words. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Evidently, Pastor Register is in agreement with that statement. When troublesome times come, we need to know that God is in control. There's a verse in the Bible that gives great comfort at times like this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That, of course, is Romans 8:28. That's today's Bible in the News report. These reports are published 12 times each year in a Bible in the News magazine. It's available by subscription for a gift of $35 annually. To get your subscription started, call 1-800-652-1144 or write to Southwest Radio Church Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma. The zip code is 73008. If you'd like a complimentary copy of the magazine before making a decision about subscribing, call and ask for it. Again, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144. 800-652-1144. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program when we'll once again bring you another Bible in the News report on this station.